through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Kia ora.
How are ya?
Cold, dude.
Bro, It's the only topic of discussion this morning.
Yeah, sorry, it's probably quite boring. But I did drag my ass out of bed at 7:30 a.m. to get to BFM, which,
appreciated, for this
professional comedian is unheard of. She was frosty out there.
She is frosty out there. It's the old bit of frost on the car windscreen in the morning. Mm. Not a regular occurrence in Tamaki Makaurau, so.
Crunchy grass.
Bring
crunchy
on
grass.
The snow, I say.
Felt like I was back in Otatahi for crying out loud. I'm going to the South Island next week. What was I thinking?
Oh, yeah, that's a bad decision.
Terrible.
It's going to be freezing down
some
there.
Missions.
Absolute scenes. Anywho's, to the media scene in New Zealand, Sky TV still exists. Did you know this?
I did.
Only by the skin of its sports.
Yeah.
Mm.
Something like that.
Yeah, I reckon that could be right. I'm being quite facetious. I shouldn't talk so much shit about Sky TV. But the reason why it's bagging the headlines is because they're making another bold move.
Ooh.
They're upgrading their Sky boxes, and they haven't gone into the explicit technical detail, but it seems to me like they might be moving things to total online delivery.
Oh.
They had a big investor presentation, and they had quotes like 86% of our system is in the cloud, and we're bringing out new boxes. With targeted advertising. I'm like, this sounds like you guys are changing from satellite delivery to over the internet.
Ooh la la.
Which, if it's true, if that is what's happening, my prediction, it won't go well.
Okay, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
The clanging chimes of doom.
Every time that services try to do online video delivery, they get there in the end, but it sucks when it starts. It's so riddled with problems.
Yeah. I guess that is just like an inevitable teething problem of that medium, though.
Yeah, it's hard. Video's hard. Turns out video's quite tricky.
Mm.
It's why we stick to the audio version.
Yeah, audio's so much easier. They announced that the new set-top boxes are going to have voice command remotes and apps as well. So it's basically like Apple TV or Chromecast or Android TV. Is that sort of technology?
Question, is it actually helpful to have voice-controlled things for most people?
You want to know something? No, but that's actually a very ableist point of view because
there's certain
people, particularly because I don't know, I haven't looked at the demographics, even if they're published, of Sky TV subscribers recently, but my assumption is that it is an older demographic.
That is true.
And they do struggle with things like, you know, your eyesight goes when you're older, so seeing the on-screen menus and stuff. So voice command in the remotes for some people can be quite useful. They've got a target of 150 to 200,000 customers by the end of 2024. Unfortunately, I tried to figure it out, but I can't see what their current numbers are, so
okay.
I don't know how ambitious that target is, but they're spending almost 10% of their capital investment budget into these new boxes,
wow. This
new infrastructure. Why is this interesting? This is interesting because Sky TV in New Zealand, it's a publicly traded company. Its share price is currently 17 cents a share. Even 3 years ago, and it's not like the business was doing well 3 years ago, it was over seven times that amount.
Whoa.
Like, I've predicted the death of Sky TV a lot of times, and I've been wrong, clearly, every time. It's still there. They've lost exclusive sporting rights over the years, and I said that this would be its death nail. They're still going.
Good on them.
So good on them.
Hanging in there.
They're kind of at risk now because their share price is so low on quite aggressive investor action, so they could get a takeover or something quite easily.
Okay.
CEO Sophie Maloney, who's currently heading the ship, arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, as your viewpoint may vary, she said that the current share price doesn't reflect the actual value of the company. Maybe she's right. I don't know. It's interesting to see them still doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely keen to see what happens next.
Yeah, the Commerce Commission, I think it was about 6 months ago, okayed the sale of OBS, which is the outside broadcast equipment company,
mm-hmm.
to a American consortium for something like, I think it was $13 million net after they took all their liabilities under consideration. But anyway, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. If this is a full change from satellite delivery to online, which I kind of suspect it is, because
mm-hmm.
that would A, be a good cost-cutting measure, and B, you're able to target your advertising really specifically when
you
do that.
Yeah.
So you can insert ads specifically for the demo of people who are watching. Yeah, so we'll that, see if they'll survive.
Yeah, absolutely. That will be very interesting to watch.
Also, Sens. I think that's how you say it.
Sens?
S-E-N-Z. It's a new sporting broadcasting radio network and app and online delivery platform that is kicking off on July 19th in New Zealand. Retired Black Caps captain Brendan McCallum will be on the station. Veteran sports broadcaster Ian Smith, former All Black Stephen Donald, and Kiwi sports reporter Christy Stanway are on the lineup so far. It's just been very interesting to see that in this post-COVID era where, you know, we're still undergoing a lot of economic recovery, particularly in the ad space, and media relies on that, that this huge, big investment, this new company is kicking off. They wanted to make sure that they were launched in time for the Tokyo Olympics, so they're going to start broadcasting on their radio stations terrestrially and online, and have their app all up and running and their podcasts and whatnot by July 19th.
Heck, well, that's interesting.
So, sports fans, you finally have a replacement for Radio Sport, which shuttered its doors last March.
Yes.
They were like one of the very early sort of victims of the COVID media shutdown stuff. So it's kind of interesting. And also, not owned by MediaWorks or NZME. It's a whole other thing. Yeah. I think it's owned by an Australian... I tried to figure this out, if it's owned by an Australian company. It's owned by something called Sports Entertainment Group, but there's like a few different companies called
that. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a nice broad general name. It's like, yeah.
There's one that operates in 22 countries and there's one that's like an Australian... I don't know. It's not Kiwi-owned, though. I'll tell you that for free. And the final bit that I wanted to highlight today was there's a movie that's going to be made and it's been greenlit for NZ on ear funding called Princess of Chaos, which is about Len Brown's affair with Bevan Shuang in 2013. Have you guys seen anything?
No, I haven't heard anything about this. Well, I was going to say Princess of Chaos is a good title.
This actually got announced in December last year because New Zealand on ear, because it's taxpayer funding, release all of their funding decisions. It's slated for $2.6 million of funding through a specific targeted initiative for Pacific Asia to feature-length productions. It's being made by the Flat 3 group, but I'm actually not sure what triggered it, but the Herald put an article out like last week and then all the talkback stations started talking about it.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, as you would expect on talkback, all of these, literally to a one, like middle-aged white dudes are pretty up in arms about the fact that taxpayer money is going towards this story being told as a film.
I mean, the Flat 3 group put out cool stuff.
Yeah,
they really do.
So awesome.
It's an incredible pedigree. And in a ecosystem where, like, in mainstream New Zealand media, there's such an underrepresentation of Asian people, Asian New Zealanders, and particularly the non-male Asian New Zealanders. Like, they just... They're basically it for mainstream content creation in New
Zealand. They recently did Creamery, is that right? Yeah,
that's
so that's
right.
The one that was most recent. They've done...
Which freaking rocks, by the way. If you haven't seen Creamery, I was so impressed by that.
That is an awesome show.
But
hectic,
like,
though. Quite hectic.
Super hectic.
Not the
Can't
cheerful
wait for
comedy
two.
That everyone sort of like billed it as. Pretty full noise.
The rhetoric of all of this chat around the movie that's going to be made, Princess of Chaos, is just so... freaking old. Like, I was listening to Media Watch on RNZ, who, you know, is supposed to be a bit above the fray, but even the tenor of all their discussion is like, oh, this is so low rent, this is, you know, so grubby. But it actually sounds like they're going to be doing a really interesting thing with the story, which is totally telling it from Bevan Shuang's side, and I think they're actually working with her to write
That's
it.
That's cool.
That'll be,
And they've got, like, scenes with her as a young child growing up in Hong Kong and coming to New Zealand and stuff.
I've got to say, off the bat... when you said off the tin bat, when you said that, that was what the story was about. My first response was like, what's that going to be like? But then when you said Flat 3 are behind it, I'm like, I kind of trust them to do cool storytelling. They're all about story sovereignty. They're crack up and they know how to tread that sort of line between the controversial and the cutting edge well. So I'm feeling more open-minded about it.
And this is what's been lost by all of the dudes having a chat, including former Arts and Culture and Heritage Minister Chris Finlayson, who labelled it embarrassing for Len Brown. Like, everyone's just talking about what this will mean for Len Brown. Peter Dunn was on, I think, News Talk ZB, slagging it off as well.
Yeah. Like, because that's who we need to hear in this, you know, conversation.
Yeah,
Peter
totally.
Dunn.
And look, to be honest, $2.6 million, it's a lot of money.
But
it wasn't a decision that came from nowhere. Like, they were specifically, this is a targeted bit of funding that's working in concert with the Film Commission as well, specifically targeting Pacific Asian feature-length development. So this is what they were trying to do.
I reckon it'll probably be cool.
I reckon it probably will. And if it's not, you know, not all art rocks.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to as well. Things are allowed to be a bit bad
sometimes. It's important to try things.
Exactly. Hey, Tim, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Nice to see y'all.
Nice to see you too. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. All right.